This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports.
A swing and there's a high fly ball.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
That's hit to deep left field. It might go. It's a gunner.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
A gunner for Burleson.
Now, live from Jupiter, Florida, and the home of the Cardinals spring training, it's Matt Pauley. Sponsored by St. Louis Composting, Wilkie Window and Door, and Norm's Bargain Barn. On your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
We have arrived to Friday. We have also just about arrived to Grapefruit League play. Outside of scheduled off days, this is the final night that you have to go to bed without the Cardinals playing a baseball game, hopefully deep into maybe October. I don't know. We can hope for sure. But yeah, again, there'll be some off days in there, but baseball to be played tomorrow. We're still about a little bit more than a month away from games that matter being played, but baseball is going to be on your radio tomorrow. You can't beat that. Grapefruit League opener tomorrow afternoon, Cardinals Marlins, 12:10 first pitch. Eric Fetty going for the Cardinals. Just glad to be able to talk through that. Welcome into the program. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. As always, if you want to chime in on what we're talking about, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a voice message. If you call or text, it's 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call and text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, or leave the voice message via the Odyssey app. We have a jam-packed program tonight. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we are going to be joined by Lloyd Sam. He's part of the team with MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, City SC. They are opening up their season tomorrow night on what's just a crazy, crazy sports day. So we're going to be mostly Cardinals over these 2 hours, but we certainly wanted to talk just a little bit about City SC. So we're going to do that with Lloyd Sam in our next segment. And outside of that, nothing but Cardinals between now and 8 o'clock and really until 9 o'clock, because when we get done, we've got the Gas House Gang tonight, and today's show is myself and Bernie Miklas. So you can just kind of strap in, sit in, do whatever you want to do, and be locked in as we do mostly Cardinals. But yeah, a little City SC coming up in our next segment. Benjamin Hockman from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today, he's going to join us at about 6:35. Next hour, we'll have our Friday conversation with our guy, Kevin Wheeler, talking Cardinals baseball with him. And then we will hear our daily audio from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. That's going to be coming up at about 7:35. So let's go through. I always try to set the scene, tell you what happened each and every day at spring training. It was a it was a short morning where only one pitcher had a live BP session. That was Michael McGreevy. So to put that in perspective for you, over the last couple days, the Cardinals had been running five separate fields of live BPs, with each field hosting two or three pitchers. Only one pitcher today. So Michael McGreevy threw a live BP session, did it to a number of the catchers who were working with him, and it seemed to go well. Jimmy Crooks hit a home run off of him, so that was good for Crooks, not great for McGreevy. But McGreevy talked about afterwards how it was a really good learning moment for him. So that's what happened on the field as far as kind of the talking points. Talk through what's going to happen tomorrow with Eric Fetty throwing one inning and then Matthew Liberatore throwing two innings. They're being very they're being careful in how they're ramping up pitchers. So and Eric Fetty is gonna throw one inning as opposed to kind of the standard two innings that you get a lot of times from starting pitchers right at the end of spring training. We've only seen Sonny Gray throw one live BP session to hitters. Some of the pitchers are kind of on a little bit of a different path. That doesn't really mean anything. It just means that's the plan that they're on for now, and everything is working towards making sure that they are ready for opening day. Talked a little bit today about the roster depth, especially when it comes to pitching, and how there's a good chance that we could see a lot of shuffling this year between the Cardinals and Memphis. Some talk about Rodair Munoz, a guy who throws really, really hard, but has a hard time controlling his pitches and getting him in the zone. Cardinals took a bit of a flyer on him, moving him from being a starter to a relief pitcher, hoping that that's going to be able to turn into something. So those were most of the things that were talked about today. Again, it was not a long, extensive day of baseball stuff. Everybody was just getting ready for tomorrow. Yesterday, and we didn't do the normal Sports Open line. We had the countdown show yesterday. But yesterday, the Cardinals got into Roger Dean Stadium, and they did their stretching and their warm-up and everything inside of the ballpark. So you can just feel the fact that baseball games are going to be played starting tomorrow. And even though it hasn't been that long since the first full squad workout, that was on Monday. So today was just the fifth full squad workout. It feels like forever ago that they had their first full squad workout, and it feels like it's an appropriate time for baseball games to be played, and I'm glad that is going to start tomorrow, and looking forward to it. Again, we'll have the broadcast for you. 12:10 for first pitch. Eric Fetty will throw the first inning. Matthew Liberatore the next two. Like I said, mostly Cardinals baseball today on the show, but did want to mention City SC for just a few moments because they are opening up their season tomorrow night at Energizer Park when they take on the Colorado Rapids. Lloyd Sam's going to be on the call for MLS Season Pass. He'll join us in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Just a ginormous sports day tomorrow in the St. Louis area. We've been talking about it. Cardinals baseball here on KMOX. The SLU basketball game will be bumped over to our sister station, 97.1 FM Talk. And how about City SC? They begin their season tomorrow night at Energizer Park as they take on Colorado. If you're listening to the radio broadcast, it's on our sister station, Y98. If you're watching it, you are watching it on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. And Lloyd Sam is going to be part of that broadcast. He joins us right now. Lloyd, appreciate you taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm good. I just got off the plane, walking. There's going to be a lot of noise, so you guys have to just bear with me, but happy to be with you guys.
Awesome. Yeah, you sound great. So we're in good shape right now. It's wild how quick the off season goes in soccer and in Major League Soccer. It doesn't feel like that long ago the season was coming to an end, and now things are picking back up again tomorrow.
Oh my gosh! For me, it felt long. I'm not gonna lie to you. It felt too long. I don't like it when I'm idle. So I've been looking forward to getting back to work, and this has been fun this week, just preparing for the game.
Yeah, what do you think about City? Because it's been interesting off season. They brought in a new coach. They've brought in some more players. A lot of those players were brought in at the transfer window last year. They just made a trade with one of the faces of the franchise, Indiana Vasilev, going to Philadelphia, being reunited with Bradley Carnell. I mean, this is a very different team right now than what a lot of fans are used to seeing.
Yeah, it is very different. But I mean, what is something I do like is, as you said, last season when the new guys were brought in, Hartel, Toyota, the response, the amount of goal involvement between the two guys, I felt like that was really encouraging. And that probably made everybody excited for this season. The only difference is, obviously, now you've got a new manager in, so the tactics might be a little bit different. You might not play a 4-2-3-1 like you did last year. So you wonder now about learning the new system. The guys have already hit the ground running. Now the system might change. I'm interested to see how that goes now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So what do you know about Olaf Melberg, and what are you expecting to maybe see different with him at the helm of the team?
I think right now it's a big unknown for everybody. Well, I can't say everybody. You've seen a little bit of preseason, a little bit of three at the back in there, and things chopped and changed a little bit. But I have got to say, it's largely an unknown. When you look at his managerial career, what is remarkable is the first 2 years he was ever a head coach, he got back-to-back promotions. So that screams out, first and foremost, when you look at his record. But it'd be very difficult to really guess and say what to expect. I think that's part of the fun of tomorrow's game. It's a new manager. You're not quite sure what to expect, but you know, you hope that he can really whisper into the ears of his main guys and get them going.
A lot of City fans were shocked when Indiana Vasilev, a guy who was a day oneer with this team, had really been a face of the team and was a great guy and had been getting some opportunities, but his spot on the team with some of the players they brought in, all of a sudden he wasn't at the top anymore. He's been reunited with Bradley Carnell as he goes to Philadelphia. What was your reaction when a guy who is so closely connected to this team ends up getting dealt?
My reaction, that's funny. I saw that yesterday when I was going about my business, prepping for the game. I'd already done, like, my note card for him. And I was surprised, but on the other hand, I was wondering where everybody's going to play. Because mm-hmm. I've been hearing rumors about maybe a 3-5-2. So that kind of makes me feel like, where does Indiana Vasilev fit in that formation? It almost feels like the 4-2-3-1 can accommodate a lot of guys, but the 3-5-2, you lose out on the wingers and the guys that play wide, if that makes sense. So I was surprised because Vasilev is a good player, but it felt like something had to give. He's too good to not start every game.
There was a lot of controversy last year if they were going to play two strikers or one striker. Sounds like you think maybe they're going to go with the two down low. Is that for this team to score goals the way that they would like to, how important is it to have multiple guys on the field who can put it in the net?
Oh, my gosh, so important. And in some of the research I've done, and something I'm going to talk about on the broadcast tomorrow, like Klaus had 5 goals last season. It's like I had to do a double take when I looked at that. Again, I was 5 goals. I was like, that was the top scorer. So a big emphasis. And I think the signings of Marcel Hartel, what a great signing. When you look at his goal record from Bundesliga 2, wow, I think he had 33 games and 30 goal involvements. Got St. Pauli promoted and then left to come. What a great acquisition. I really do like that signing because, you know, the goals he scored, and that's going to take the pressure off of Klaus and the Leuven. You've got Twitter, you've got Hartel now. I feel like there's a few guys of the right age, mature age as well, to, you know, score those goals and take pressures off the others.
It's amazing. We're going into year number 3 of MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, and you guys just do an incredible job of covering the game. All the games are on the service. There's a lot more soccer-related content. How much fun is it to be part of this thing where fans can enjoy all things MLS at the right there at their fingertips?
Oh, man, it's fun, man. I think it's just getting better, making little tweaks to the website and things like that. Or to the app, I should say. It's been so much fun to be involved. And the new season's coming. You know, as I said, I think I started by saying I don't really like the off season. So, man, I'm really loving this job. This is the best job in the world, personally. So I don't take it for granted. It's cold in St. Louis, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of vibes to warm it up by kickoff tomorrow.
Yeah, well, stay warm, enjoy the city, enjoy the game, and hopefully we can talk to you again down the line at some point.
Thanks for having me, man. All the best tomorrow.
Awesome. Very good. That is Lloyd Sam. He's going to be on the call on MLS Season Pass there on Apple TV. And of course, you can listen to it on Y98 as well. You can do the audio overlay with the Y98 broadcast. So many different things that they do. And by the way, nobody is paying me to say what I am about to say. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of some inside information. For those of you who happen to be T-Mobile phone subscribers, that is who I use on my phone service. They do like the T-Mobile Tuesday thing where they give you free stuff each week. This week, it was actually the MLS season pass. So maybe you're somebody who doesn't check that out very often. I would encourage you, if you happen to be I'm just trying to save you a few bucks, okay? Just trying to save you a few dollars. If you are somebody who normally subscribes to the Apple TV MLS season pass thing, you can go get it for free if you have T-Mobile. I just redeemed mine today. So just trying to help you out a little bit on that one, because any dollar that you can save is certainly good. I know Lloyd said that it felt like a long off season for him. It's so fast. There is no off season in soccer, it seems like. And that's, I've mentioned this a couple times. You know, 2 years ago when the season came to an end in the playoffs and Bradley Carnell was still the head coach, they lost, you know, that playoff series to Kansas City. And in the post-game press conference, you would have thought that they were playing again the next week, the way that Bradley Carnell was talking. It didn't feel like they were going into an offseason. It just felt like they were going into another week, and that's kind of the soccer mentality. One other note, by the way, I didn't ask Lloyd about this because I know he's been traveling all day, so just in case he hadn't seen it, I didn't want to put him on the spot and be unfair to him. But Alfredo Morales has been signed. He is a veteran midfielder. He signs for the 2025 season. It includes an option for 2026. I would assume that he's not going to be part of this coming up tomorrow, but that's part of what's going on in terms. You know, they got a lot of general allocation money from Philadelphia in the Indiana Vasilev trade, from what I read online, and there's a lot of people who are a lot smarter about this than I am for sure, but from what I read online, that doesn't have to be the only thing that they do with that general allocation money, but maybe it is the start as Alfredo Morales joins us, City SC. So that is going on as well. When we return, we are going to talk with Benjamin Hockman. He is, man, I'll tell you what, the Post-Dispatch, they've been doing a great job as well of covering the Cardinals as they always do. They've got so many folks who are down here covering the team, and Benjamin Hockman joins us in just a moment from Jupiter, Florida. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We continue to broadcast from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. We're joined right now by Post-Dispatch STL Today sports columnist Benjamin Hockman. Ben, great to see you. How are you?
Great to see you, man. It's fun being here in Florida.
So the number one narrative when we got here was the Nolan Arenado stuff. We spent so much time talking about it in the offseason, and then he gets here and nothing has changed. What's your overall takeaway of everything that we've seen with this Arenado stuff?
I mean, it's awkward city, and especially that day when the Cardinals, or actually who was the decision maker here, is Alex Bregman. Mm-hmm. When Bregman goes to Boston, and then the Cardinals and Arenado realize they're going to have to get married again, if you will, or throw away the divorce papers before they signed them, because here was Arenado back with St. Louis, and he was just, look, Mozeliak's a professional, Arenado's a professional, Marmol's a professional. They got through it, and they had good conversations, it sounds like. But, yeah, it's awkward. It's not just awkward for those players. It's awkward for guys like Michael Ciani, who thought maybe they would start all year in center field, but now Nootbaar is going to have to start in center because Arenado's at third, and that means Gorman's at second maybe, and Donovan's in left. It's just this domino effect.
Yeah, somebody like Thomas Tejasi might not even make the team. We're asking Ollie all the time about offense versus defense in center field, and we know that he likes the defense, but the team didn't score runs. Like, there's a domino effect to all of this.
Yeah, and what are the 2025 Cardinals supposed to be? What are they going to be? I mean, this is a roster, and I guess I'm speaking in a lower voice because we're near the clubhouse, and some Nolan could walk out at any moment right now. But I mean, yeah, on paper, this is not a team that's going to win probably more than 84 games. Now, that might get you in the playoffs, don't get me wrong. But, yeah, how can you maximize what you got? And for me, it's just getting the offense out there on the field. And if you got Nootbaar instead of Ciani, like, and look, you can bring in Ciani in the seventh inning, you know, to be like a, if you will, like a closer out of the bullpen, except not pitching, he's playing center field. But the reality is this team needs to score runs. They were 19th in slugging percentage last year, I believe 27th in hitting with runners in scoring position. So something's got to change with the bats in their hands.
We've also heard the terminology change. It's not a reset anymore. It is now a transition. And to me, it feels like transition is more about what's going on in the front office, where when they were talking about a reset, that was more about what was going on the field. Would you agree kind of with that?
Yeah, and I think Arenado was the key player that would have made it a reset on the field, if you will. And the idea was, if he's gone, if he's with Boston, then you can put Gorman at third and have him have 500 at-bats and all these innings in the field, and Donovan at second. You can have all these different guys get playing time. And now, for better or worse, for better, of course, for the baseball team in 2025, but maybe for worse for some of these prospects, Arenado is going to get 500, 600 at-bats this year. But yeah, you're right. The transition more is in the front office and the decisions they're making and how that's going to affect the future, because Chaim Bloom's going to take over after the season is over. And what are they going to leave him in the cupboard, if you will?
One thing that I don't think has changed is the season is still contingent. If they're going to be successful, the season's still contingent upon Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker taking steps forward. So even with Arenado being back, even with Gorman playing different spots, like, those two guys are still going to play every day. They're still going to be given every opportunity to succeed. And if they do, I feel like this could be an okay team.
Yeah, those are good points, Matt, because you think back to, we're sitting on a park bench outside the clubhouse in Jupiter. We were, if you will, sitting on the same park bench 365 days ago. We're like, man, the 2024 Cardinals, they could be pretty good if Walker and Gorman get going. Now, we didn't know that Goldschmidt and Arenado would have these epic, you know, downfalls offensively. But there was this idea that these two guys, Walker and Gorman, could be key cogs to a playoff team. Well, here we are, fast forward. It's still the same human beings. They both had really down years. Gorman set a dubious mark for the highest strikeout rate in franchise history. But there's optimism because there's a new hitting coach, Brant Brown. You talk to anybody around here, they smile when they talk about Brant Brown. He's an energetic, likable guy. And look, it's spring training. The Cardinals are 0-0 right now. But in that clubhouse, there's optimism that Brant Brown has made Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman smarter and better hitters.
Much to the chagrin of many of your readers, you have been publicly supportive of Oliver Marmol, who is not a overly popular figure within the Cardinals fan base. What is it about? Because I'm the same way. I like Ollie. I think he's a good manager. What is it about what he does that makes you feel like he is the right guy for this job?
Well, right away, and this is kind of inside baseball, but they have these Pythagorean, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. I apologize to my eighth grade math teacher who's probably listening. But
Clayton education, doesn't matter.
Yeah. I was more of an English and history guy. But there's something that helped me out, like a Pythagorean.
Pythagorean?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. Let's go with that.
Okay.
It's on the radio, so it has to be true, right?
Yes.
That said that the Cardinals outperformed what their record should have been last year. Well, who was in charge of making all the decisions? Oliver Marmol. Moreover, you look at the way he handled the bullpen last year. very masterful. So there's things to like about him. But for me, and you and I have similar career paths. We both spent time in Colorado covering the NBA. We've been around coaches of different sports. And there's something about Marmol and the way he speaks about being a leader as a coach, and the way he presses the right buttons, the way he communicates with his players, that just really energizes me. And I just, for lack of a better word, I just like listening to him talk. And I think you talk to a lot of these players, and they'll say, like, I like playing for him. And look, there's been successful managers over the year who were jerks, mm-hmm. and the whole thing. And in football, notably, how many coaches were so mean, but they did it, or Herb Brooks in hockey, they're so mean, but they do it to bring out the best of their guys. Marmol is different, but I just think he's very, very intelligent. And come send me a DM when they win the 2026 World Series.
When you wrote that column, that was very much in favor. I enjoyed reading the comments because I felt like you got to walk into my world as the post-game show host for a second.
I think about you all the time. I drive because there'll be games I'm driving home and I'm listening to you and I'm like, this Matt's got to put up with these calls, and every game, it's like every game's the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And look, we're both from St. Louis. We understand the passion of the fans, no question about it. But gosh, sometimes like the phone calls or the emails are like, it's Armageddon 162 days a year, or if you will, however many losses they had, 80 whatever losses.
What does this team need to do this year? Where the expectations externally are so low, what does this team need to do for Heim Bloom to look at Ollie and say, what you're basically saying, that this is the right guy?
That's a great question, and I don't know just yet if Chaim has a guy. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible. I mean, he's not going to broadcast it now, but he might have earmarked a guy a year ago that says, like, when I'm in charge, this will be the manager. We don't know that. But I think Ollie can bring out the best out of a lot of these ball players, and if he brings out the best of, and along with Brant Brown, the aforementioned Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, and the Cardinals are fighting for a wild card in this season, I think you look at Ollie and say, like, all right, we've got something great right here. Why would I need to bring in somebody I knew from Tampa or knew from Boston?
Maybe I'm just getting caught up in spring training, and it happens. I love baseball. But to me, all of a sudden, especially with Arenado being back, like, I don't know if this team's going to be good, but they went from being kind of uninteresting because they didn't do anything all offseason to now I look around and I can see some interesting pieces and some interesting things going on.
The Blues are in a retool, rebuild, whatever, not rebuild, reset. And it's been hard. People like Robert Thomas is really good. Kyrou can be infuriating at times, but there's not that many like players you're like, I can't wait to see him play tonight. I can't wait to tune into the game against Winnipeg on a Tuesday to see such and such and such. Well, with the St. Louis Cardinals, though, you tune in, you get to see Mason win every night. This is already one of the more exciting players in the National League, and he's going to turn 23 next month. If Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman become the studs they can be, or we hope they can be, or I think they can be, that's entertaining stuff. Newt Barr, I mean, there's definitely, and Contreras with the swagger, there's likable dudes on this team that could make this a fun season. But I think, Matt, it's going to really hinge on how well they play in April, because if they start out poorly, even if they get great in May, even if they have the best May ever, a bad April can really sink the fans in the season.
Last thing, most important thing for you, you wrote a column and you had the words, don't call it a reset, in your column. When you did that, did you have the lyrics of LL Cool J in the back of your head when you were doing it?
I hope this doesn't get your radio station sued for infringement of copyright, but like, I was singing the song. I was like, da, 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 as I was typing it, don't call it a reset.
There it is. That's what I wanted to hear. Benjamin, you're the best.
Always fun seeing you, Matt.
That's Benjamin Hockman. We'll take a break. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Jupiter, Florida on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We're back at it on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauley. We are in Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training, the eve of games getting started. Grapefruit League action coming up tomorrow afternoon. Smile on my face just as I say that. We are going to see baseball being played tomorrow as they match up against the Marlins. We'll have it for you right here on KMOX. First two games tomorrow and Sunday will both be here on KMOX. Bunch of games on KMOX, bunch of games streaming through Cardinals.com. So you can head to Cardinals.com yourself, go to the schedule, and you'll always see the broadcast information for that. But good to hear John and Ricky on the broadcast. Klabe's on the broadcast beginning tomorrow. So happy to be able able to share that with you, the great listeners of KMOX. Wanted to touch on this for just a moment. And for those of you who are subscribers to The Athletic, I think you probably generally like the product that you get. I'm a big fan of what they do at The Athletic. And I'm a big fan of Katie Wu, who we've had on this show for sure, friend of the program. She wrote an interesting story that published earlier today that really outlined everything that happened during the Nolan Arenado saga negotiations. Like, I don't want to get, I always pause whenever I talk about stuff like from The Athletic, because I don't want to give so much away that you don't want to go read the thing. It's a really, really good piece. So go read it if you can, but it tells the story. It was really a storytelling piece. It told the story of starting with John Mozeliak going to Denver when the Cardinals were playing the Rockies at the end of last season, when they had already made the decision of what plan they had for the organization going forward, and going and speaking with Arenado one-on-one to let him know what it was going to look like for the team moving forward and see if he would be okay being put on the market. And that was the starting point. And it takes you through all the twists and turns and the turmoil and everything until we get to the point that Nolan Arenado reported to camp and was once again reinstalled as the everyday third baseman for the Cardinals as of this past Sunday when he got to camp. There was a lot in there. Again, don't want to give all of it away, but it was interesting that of the teams that he had, that Arenado had indicated he'd be okay being traded to, one of them was the Houston Astros. So John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, he operated as if the Astros were a team that Arenado would be good at being traded to. Well, then all of a sudden, the Astros trade away Kyle Tucker, and it was looking less and less likely that they were going to bring back Alex Bregman. So when Mozeliak had come to an agreement with the Astros on an Arenado trade, all of a sudden Arenado said with his no trade clause, you know what? I don't know if this is the best play. He didn't know if they look the same as when they were originally on his list and just wanted a little bit more time. And there wasn't that time, and the Astros ended up pivoting in a different direction, and they went and acquired Christian Walker instead. And they didn't really have much of a need for Arenado at that point. Although that being said, Jose Altuve is moving out to left field, so there was still a spot for Arenado if they wanted to pursue that. But really, that deal seemingly was dead once Christian Walker made the decision to become a Houston Astro. There has been a lot of criticism of John Mozeliak, just in general, just in principle. Like we've discussed this many times. He is such an unpopular character right now for Cardinals fans that there's not much of anything he can do, right or wrong, that will get a positive reaction from Cardinals fans right now. And Mo doesn't need me to defend him, but because this was kind of the number one story on, you know, Cardinals social media today, I wanted to at least talk about it for a little while. There are moments, there are times where there's no bad guy. That nobody made a mistake, nobody did anything wrong. And I think this is an example of that. Because I'm not mad at Arenado for saying he was good with the Houston Astros, and then the Astros do things to change themselves. And when Arenado took a second look at who the Astros were becoming, saying, ah, you know what, I'm not so sure on that one. That's his right. I understand that. If the Astros would have done nothing, if they would have been the exact same team when he was originally on the list, like he still would have had that right, but I think you at least kind of bat an eye at it. But I get it. I think there's some understanding there. For Mozeliak, you know, there's a ton of criticism towards him about not getting an Arenado deal done. Well, what exactly was he supposed to do? Because Arenado gave a list of reportedly five teams. Most of those teams on the list, those teams were not interested in Arenado. You can't force a team to be interested. You can't go to the Dodgers and say, hey, I know you're comfortable with Max Muncy as your third baseman, but I need you to stop believing that, and I need you to instead believe that Nolan Arenado is a better third base option for you. You can't force them to think that way. You had a deal in place with the Astros. That went out the door. You had a deal done with the Red Sox as a contingency for Boston, and that went out the door when they end up signing Bregman. That's what I don't understand. There's a lot of reasons to be critical of John Mozeliak. The downturn of this team in recent years and the decision to go with some, you know, mid-level free agents and not put as much into player development and let some of the staffing and some of the infrastructure and some of the data to fall well behind what's going on from an industry standpoint. We can be critical about Mo on those things, and I think we're being fair when we levy those criticisms. When they made the decision to change all this stuff, you don't change things that you're happy with. You change things when you do a self-assessment and you say, we're not doing as good of a job as we can be doing. So the criticism that I might lay towards a John Mozeliak on all those sort of things, I think he and the organization have already done from an internal standpoint, and that's why they're changing all these things. But I don't know what the criticism of Mo is here. Do I acknowledge the optics of priority 1, 2, and 3 is to trade Nolan Arenado being the talking point at winter meetings and then it not happening as being bad optics? Yeah, I'll acknowledge that. Bad optics, it doesn't look good. But is there real substantive complaints about how anybody has handled this situation? I don't see it so much. Maybe Mo could have held back a little bit on what he said, but are we really going to be that critical about a guy who's being incredibly honest? Like, I have a hard time with that. I have a really hard time. And there are times where I'll say, you know, somebody's maybe saying a little bit too much, or they're being a little bit too honest, but I don't even like it when I say that. I don't want to be critical of somebody for honesty, right? I don't want to be critical of honesty. That's not something to be critical of. So it's a really weird situation the way the whole thing played out. I'm really glad that Katie wrote the story that she wrote, because now there's kind of a historical narrative of how this whole thing went down. You know, bits and pieces of it had been collected. Even what Mo said to us, we talked to him a lot. I can't remember what conversation it was, but Mo told me that when he made the comment at the winter meetings that their intention was to trade Nolan Arenado, that he thought he had a deal done at that point. I assume that's the Astros deal. I don't know for sure that that's the deal he's referencing. No other deal was brought up in Katie's article for sure. So I think it's safe to assume that's what it was, but he thought the deal was done, and then it ends up not being done, and things sometimes end up happening that way. But something I certainly wanted to talk through a little bit. I encourage you to read the story for yourself if you want to, available through The Athletic. We'll break for the top of the hour news. Coming up in hour number 2 of the program, we've got our weekly Friday conversation with Kevin Wheeler. We'll do our fun with audio, listening in to Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line. We're in Jupiter, Florida, and we're right here on America's Sports Voice, your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida, where tomorrow is the day Grapefruit League games begin. Cardinals Marlins tomorrow afternoon, 12:10 first pitch. John Rooney, Ricky Horton on the call of the game right here on KMOX. We've got a jam-packed hour. We're going to take a quick segment here, and then we've got a bunch of stuff to get to before we wrap things up. Our weekly Friday conversation with Kevin Wheeler, that's going to be coming up in just a few moments or so, and then we will get the latest from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, the various things that he had to talk about today. Did want to mention this. You know, we it's sports radio, right? I host a sports show. We talk about this, whether it's Sports Open Line or Gas House Gang. We are very good at approaching all the different landmines that might exist and kind of dissecting them. And it's a good reminder that stuff can work out, and it's good to have more available than you think you need, because you end up having it. I was having the conversation with Klaibs the other day. Maybe it was yesterday on the Countdown to Opening Day show, where every year it's spring training and you feel like there's more than enough pitching. How are you going to get all these guys their innings? How many of these major league ready guys are going to end up at Memphis? So on and so forth. And then all of a sudden it's June or July and you're looking around and saying, there's no pitching around here. They got to go out and get some more pitching. So that's a very normal. That's part of the cycle of baseball. Unfortunately, and it's just a reminder of things that are likely to come. Not rooting for them to come, but likely to come. Drew Rahm, who is trying to come back from shoulder surgery, and had come into camp fully healthy, ready to go with baseball activities. He felt some soreness in his shoulder, and they're going to shut him down for a little bit, and they're going to try to figure out what's going on with him. First off, from like a human standpoint, it's a big bummer for him. He has worked, and hopefully it's nothing, and that he's going to be back soon and back on track and back on the path to being a big league pitcher once again. But how frustrating is it for a guy who misses an entire season, has shoulder surgery, comes back from it, works really hard, and then by the time they're going through their first bullpen sessions, well, it's not what they want it to be. So what that tells you is that injuries are going to continue to happen. Pitching injuries in spring training have been going up. Pitching injuries actually during the regular season, they have not gone up as much. But pitching injuries during spring training, that is an issue that Major League Baseball has. And I don't want it to be true, but unfortunately, Drew Rahm's not going to be the first. So when we're sitting here stressing out about, is Michael McGreevy going to have an opportunity? Is this guy going to have an opportunity? We haven't even seen the team start to play great for league games yet. And there's already one injury in, and there's likely to be more coming up. So just a reminder that if you're stressing out about stuff, it tends to work itself out. Or if you're stressing out about there's just not enough innings or not enough at-bats for guys, that all figures itself out sooner than later. We will take a break, and when we come back, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us. It is our weekly Friday conversation. Always enjoy being able to get him on. And then after we talk with Wheels, we'll hear from Oliver Marmol, cuts from his daily media conference today. That's all coming up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX. Welcome back in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Coming up in a few moments, we are going to hear from Oliver Marmol, everything that he had to say during his daily media session. The day before Grapefruit League action begins, Cardinals Marlins tomorrow, 12:10 first pitch. We'll have it for you right here on KMOX. But right now, it is our Friday tradition. Our guy, Kevin Wheeler, former host of this very program, now part of the Dave Glover Show. He is with us. Hello, Wheels.
It's good to be Ollie's warm-up guy.
There you go.
I'm his opening act.
Yeah, that works out well.
He's the rock star, and I'm the jokester that goes before.
Fair enough. You know what? Everybody has to.
You always got to have the bigger act always goes second.
Yeah, well, and I was about to say, every like headlining comedian at some point was in those other positions at some point.
Yeah, except I'm older than Ollie, so I think I'm in the wrong track.
Maybe. So I'm here in Jupiter. You're in St. Louis, but you're following along with everything that's going on. It's been an eventful week. It started with Nolan Arenado showing up on Sunday, and then there's been a lot of things that have happened. So I'll kind of throw it at you. What's the storyline? What's the narrative that has most caught your attention during the week?
Well, the thing that I'm paying most attention to is how much are we going to hear about quote unquote resetting things, right? How much are we going to hear? What do we pick up in the words that are being spoken specifically from the manager, but also Kate, you know, Winmo talks, and I know the players aren't going to be talking about these things because the things that we're talking about eventually changing long term are not just roster spots, right? I mean, that was part of it. And it's not just payroll. Those are, to me, the payroll conversation is temporary.
Right.
You know, the conversations I'm interested in are the more permanent ones. So you sent me a clip earlier today, just as an example. You sent me a clip on the phone today of the manager speaking and talking about Roderick Munoz, whose greatest strength is that he throws hard. He doesn't throw very many strikes, but he throws hard. And he was asked today, was it Derek Gould you said asked the question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Asked Ollie if whether or not they'd want to maybe have him tick down on velocity to get better command. And Ollie was like, no, it's harder to hit guys throwing harder. And I'm like, yes, that's the answer I want to hear from the Cardinals. Velocity is good. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, I had this conversation with Bernie Miklas today on the Gas House Gang. One area that I'm struggling is when they were, and by the way, you said how often are we going to hear like reset? We're not. That's a word that they have now officially.
Yeah, I don't mean the word. I just mean the concepts behind it. Like, are we going to hear a different point of view of how we're talking about lineup construction, roster usage? Are we playing matchups more or are we not? Like, it's more about the ideas than the word itself.
So this isn't apples to apples, but it's in the area. I was all in on the reset, on the youth movement, on the let the kids play and, you know, do things for the future. And if it meant they didn't have a very good season this year, so be it. That never really came to fruition, even more so now with Nolan Arenado back, but with the guys in the starting rotation. And I'm fine with that as well. Go try to win games while giving whatever opportunity you have to give to young kids, give it to them. But Ollie has talked a lot when going through decisions, how the decisions he makes this year, he's going to have to kind of straddle between how the decisions impact this year and how they impact future years. And that's where I'm struggling, because there are going to be times where there's going to be a clear choice that this decision helps the Cardinals for this season and this decision helps the Cardinals for future seasons. And I don't get the sense that it's going to be 100% they're going to go in one direction or the other throughout the season. So I'm just, how do you do that? You can't really serve two gods. And then once again, Wheels, you're kind of stuck in that middle spot.
You got to be careful about that. Yeah, you're right that there's the potential for being caught. But what's different there is in the past, it was always about what's best for now. It was always that. That's why Jordan Walker kept getting sent down when he would struggle, because it was right now, what do we need? We need to win games. We're trying to win the division and we're off to a bad start or whatever. So I'm glad that there's an extra factor, but I think you're right. There's a danger of getting stuck. If you're, you know, so I guess it depends. To me, it's just going to depend on what the decision is, right? If it's as simple as who's our best matchup in a game that's close, well, we don't necessarily need to try Riley O'Brien in leverage just because it might benefit us next year. We're going to go with the guys that are showing us. Like, that's fine. That's a different thing. If it comes down to like the everyday lineup, as we've discussed, Jordan Walker's struggling and we're not having a good time scoring runs, so we're going to sit him or we're going to send him down, that's where you can run into the problem. So I think it's probably going to have to be judged by all of us, Matt, on a case by case, because there is definitely the danger you referred to. There's definitely the danger of getting caught in between.
And sometimes it's kind of a dynamic decision where it's not black or white. It's not this or that. It could be a multiple choice. You look at center field. Lars Nootbaar is probably the offense first choice. Michael Ciani is probably the defense first choice. And Victor Scott is probably the future first choice. So those are three different options that you're kind of juggling in that spot.
Although I would tack on to that Lars can also be a part of, Lars in center can also be a part of helping down the road too, even if he's not going to be there down the road, because it opens up at bats for somebody that can be a factor in the future, right? It's going to open up at bats potentially, again, maybe not on opening day. And that's something that we all have to keep in mind. I know I do, because I've been fixating on this lack of change, this lack of opportunity. And I'm trying to remind myself, the opening day roster does not reflect how the roster will be used all year necessarily. Right. So let's say JC opens in AAA. Well, there could be a time where somebody goes down to an injury and he gets to play for an extended period of time. they could decide something's not working and go in a different direction that leans more toward those guys. So I know that I have to caution myself against it because I don't love that you're essentially doing the same thing right now that you did last year. But what can change is how you adapt and how you adjust and whether or not you get caught on a specific philosophy or if you're simply going by what your team is going to benefit from. Like, so example, if the decision is, okay, well, we get better defense in center field with Siani and we think today we need better defense, or this, you know, in this stretch, we need better defense. Is that move for 2025 outweighing what you need to learn for 2026 and beyond? Right? Because I think that's where the whole Newt Barr and center field conversation becomes a big deal to me. Yes, it's about scoring more runs now, which can be about the now, but it's also creating at-bats for people with bigger upside offensively.
Yeah.
And longer term, right? Longer term upside too.
We'll see how lineup, and not that a Grapefruit League game lineup tells you any type of answer, but we'll start to see some trends as these spring training games are played. I have a feeling we're going to see Alec Burleson as the guy who's going to lose out on some playing time here.
Yeah.
That Gorman's going to be the DH a lot. That Donovan's going to be at second a lot, and that's going to allow them to have Newton left and Siani in center.
I mean, if the battle is between at-bats and playing time between Siani and Burleson, I have less of an issue with that. In part because while I think Alec Burleson is a really good hitter, I don't think Alec Burleson has a high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean, like, I think he's going to be a major leaguer for a long time. I think he's going to have a long major league career. He's a really good hitter, but I don't think there's a lot more there. There's no more physical development, right? He's already a big, strong guy. He already is what he is there. And most players, this has been studied by people way smarter than me. Most players do not improve strike zone judgment and swing decisions once they reach the major leagues. Usually once you reach the major leagues, you kind of are what you are when it comes to swing decisions and strike zone judgment. Guys don't learn how to walk or swing at fewer pitches very often at a high level at the major league level. It's not 100%. There are, and you can improve, but you don't go from a 310 on base guy to a 350 on base guy once you reach the major leagues.
Do you think that's changing though, just in the sense that guys are being pushed to the big leagues faster, so there's more room to grow when they get here?
It can, right. It can, yeah. But not for a guy that's almost 27.
Right. Like, that wasn't specific to Burleson, just
right.
Because I find that interesting.
Yeah, because, well, when you arrive at the major leagues when you're 22, you know, in a lot of years, I mean, look at how many guys in the Cardinals organization are 22 and they've not even been to the big leagues yet, right? I mean, Quinn Matthews is 22 years old, you know? I mean, so JC's 22 and he's only had a little taste of the big leagues. So, yeah, when you the younger you arrive, the more that can still happen, but the problem is at the major league level, it's so much, for especially for hitters, it's so much about survival that it's very difficult to change, right? It's very difficult to do that. And you can do some things in the offseason, like swing changes can be done in the offseason where you're going to stop hitting ground balls and hit the ball in the air and you can build habits in there. But man, taking an at bat is still about what your eyeballs tell you and making a decision in 3/10 of a second.
And I just... guys who try to do the in-season changes, it's borderline impossible. You can work on anything you want at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but when it's 9:30 at night, your team's down by a run, and you got runners on at second and third and two outs, you're not going to stick with this thing that you were working on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon that's resulted in three strikeouts in the last three at-bats.
Well, hitting has to be reactive and instantaneous. It can't be thought. If it's thought, you're done. Yeah. The types of changes that work best in season matter typically trying to get back to where you were at a previous time, right? So let's say you had you were doing a certain thing really well and when you had a big season and trying to get back to that feel because you know that feel, right? It's not new. You're not learning it. You're just trying to remember it. You're trying to find it. And then once you find it, you've already done it and you know what it's like and you can identify it when you feel that way again. And that feeling is both physical and psychological, right? It's the combination of the two. So, you know, if you look at a guy, he's like, man, I feel wrong. And we'll go back and look at the video and like, oh, yeah, last year when you were good, you were doing this instead of this. All right, let's try to get back to that. That's an easier thing than adding a new thing.
Right. And that's when we heard about what was going on with Nolan Gorman. It feels like Brant Brown was largely kind of going back to what his base was and then building off of that.
Yeah. And look, I think the task with Nolan on a conceptual level is very simple. Doing it's hard, right? Like everything in sports is hard to do. Sometimes, though, it's not hard to understand. And he just has to swing at the right pitches. And mostly he's just got to lay off the stuff that he can't drive. And if that means you're falling behind sometimes, and now again, everything's circumstantial, right? And this is where I think Major League Baseball has lost a little bit in the last 10, 15 years, maybe even more than that, where there's less importance on making that adaptation when you're in the hole in certain spots, okay? In most spots, in most at-bats, you can keep the same ideas. But when there's a runner on third base and one out in a one-run game, your job is not to drive the ball as far as you can drive it. Your job is to drive that runner in, which means put the ball in play. And if you fall behind in that count, you should be less power conscious. You're not looking for a ball that you can hit in the air 420 feet. You're just looking for a ball, depending on the defense, right? Defenses, infields in, you are looking for a ball to hit in the air because the ball on the ground, it may not get the run in. But if the defense is back or midway, even a ground ball is fine. It's going to score that run. So, yes, there is something to be said about situational hitting and that. And I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the general at-bat, right? Your normal, regular at-bats. A guy like Nolan Gorman just has to avoid swinging at off-speed stuff down and away. And it's, again, super easy to understand, very difficult to do.
Before I get you out of here, let's talk about the situational stuff for just a second, though, because over the course of 2 days, there's a lot of conversation about that. And Oliver Marmol is kind of, he's pumped up about having Brant Brown around. And there was a lot of discussion about the way Brown communicates with players and helps them understand approaches in different situations. And that's more focused now than it has been in previous times. And coming off a year where the Cardinals were terrible with runners in scoring position, to everything that you've just said, it's hard to think through things in the at-bat, but if you are very cognizant walking up to the plate of the situation and can at least take that into the at-bat, that can go a long way towards this team scoring more runs.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the same thing as thinking about mechanics, because that's just more, how big am I trying to go, right? Or what am I looking for? When you're looking to do damage, you're looking at a very specific pitch or a specific zone, right? You can't really do both because you're caught in between there. So if you're looking to do damage, you're saying, okay, I'm looking fastball, or I'm going to sit on the slider because I know he's going to throw it to me, or I'm just going to look away because I know he doesn't like to pitch me in. I'm going to look away. You can do that either way. But in the situation, it might be as simple as I just need a ball that I can put a bat on. Right. I'm not looking for anything specific. I'm going to look at the whole strike zone and the first thing that, or I'm just going to look up. I need to pitch up. I need to hit the ball out of the infield in the air. So I want to pitch up. Those things are things you can definitely do as a game plan stepping into the box based on situations. And I don't think the Cardinals were bad at those things because they didn't know to do that last year. Every hitter knows to do that. I mean,
so why were they bad in those spots?
Yeah, I'll get to that. Because, I mean, this is stuff we preach to teenagers, man. We preach this stuff to 13, 14-year-olds. High school players are being taught that. College players, that's not something you're hearing for the first time in the big leagues. Like, that's something that hitters are taught from the time they're young, especially when they're, like, highly competitive players, right? Maybe not in 10U when you're just a little leaguer, but when you're playing, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16U, travel ball, things like that, you're being taught that stuff as a hitter. But where the Cardinals had the biggest problem last year, and it relates to what we're talking about, is the inability to stay within what works for you, right? It's Jordan Walker not being able to lay off the breaking ball down and away. It's Nolan Gorman swinging at fastballs above the zone and off speed off the plate down. Like, you can't do both. You can't be going after both or you're done. It was Paul Goldschmidt's bat being slower. He wasn't getting to pitches that he used to get to. It was Nolan Arenado not getting to pitches that he used to. You know, it was a lot of it. Was, you know, when you run down the lineup and look at a guy that was good with runners in scoring position last year, like Mason Winn. Well, why was he good? He was good because what he does is suits that. He's a ball in play kind of guy. He doesn't swing and miss very much. He doesn't swing and miss, and he doesn't strike out. So that guy's going to be good in situations because that's his game. Power guys can go up and down in that regard. And when you look at part of it was, your best hitter last year was Wilson Contreras, and he missed half the year. So you're taking your best bat out of the lineup. That's going to hurt you in key spots because he's good at those things. Your best hitter is. And then you add in Goldie and his problems. And he was having problems hitting fastballs, especially fastballs in. So when you're looking at those things, that's, to me, what was the problem in situational ball last year. Not just not understanding how to do it or thinking about it, but just not being able to be at your best in any situation, let alone with runners in scoring position.
That's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. Wheels, have a great weekend, and we'll talk again coming up on Monday.
Get some rest. Enjoy some baseball, buddy. I'm jealous.
All right. When we come back, Oliver Marmol will hear the latest from him. That's next. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Jupiter right here on KMOX.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to come your way from Jupiter, Florida, and Cardinals spring training. It is that time of the program where we have a little fun with audio, going back and listening through what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today as he does a daily media session. So one player who bluntly is not in a great position to make the team is Thomas Tsegiasi. Before Nolan Arenado's return, it looked like Tsegiasi was likely to make the club, and there would certainly be enough at-bats for him just in bouncing around and playing a bunch of different positions on a day-to-day basis. But when Arenado returned, and that pushes Gorman to second, or if Gorman's the DH, Donovan is at second. Like, there's just, when you've got a young guy like Tsegiasi, and the Cardinals have always felt this way, and I agree with them on it, what you want to do is you want to make sure that there are enough at-bats, enough plate appearances, and enough games for it to be worth it for those guys, that it doesn't stunt their progression as still developing players. And if you're just not going to find those plate appearances, it makes more sense for them to be playing just about every day at Memphis. And look, this stuff works itself out. There's going to be injuries. Even if he's not on the opening day roster, he'll certainly have a role on the team this year. It's just, if everybody's healthy, it doesn't seem overly likely that it would make much sense for him to be on the roster when opening day hits. But all that being said, this is what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say about what he wants to see and what JC really needs to do in spring this year.
Just go out there and compete. He had a good fall league. He understands what makes him good. He worked on a couple things when it came to just swing decisions. This is a guy that puts a lot of balls in play regardless of where they are in the zone, and he starts to hone that in a little bit and swing at more pitches in the heart of the plate. I think we're going to see a better version of him. He's already a good player, but we'll see even a more improved version of that. So he's aware of what he needs to do going into these games. And just go out there and compete, be himself, which is, it comes easy to him.
As far as Tsegiasi and the way he carries himself, man, he's cool, he's calm, he's collective, he comes across as laid back, and I think he is kind of in life, but that doesn't mean he's that way with baseball. But Marmol says that he absolutely loves Sejasi's mentality.
He's definitely steady. He doesn't make too much of what's going on around him. Doesn't make the game much bigger than it is. So, yes. His personality will serve him well.
A lot of talk today was around pitching. Let's go through some of what was said. We'll start with Sonny Gray. You know, he's one of the elder statesmen in the clubhouse now, and he's always kind of led in his own way, and there's been a lot of talk about that this year with Quinn Matthews' locker being placed next to him. And when Ollie was asked about maybe Gray evolving as a leader, he kind of pushed back on the evolving thing, not saying that you don't evolve, everybody evolves, but just the idea that there needed to be evolution. No, that Gray is a good leader, and he's always been one.
We got him because he was a leader, right? Like, he does that well. He is intense, but brings people alongside of him. He's intentional with what he says and how he says it, and he's solid when it comes to that. So evolve. I think we all continue to evolve as leaders, but this is a guy that had a pretty good foundation for that prior to us getting him over here.
Now, Gray seemingly is a little bit behind some of the other pitchers. He's only thrown two hitters once. We'll see when he actually gets into a Grapefruit League game. They're going with a slow ramp up for him, and even someone like Eric Fetty, who is going to start the Grapefruit League opener coming up tomorrow, they're being careful with him. So Gray, Fetty, those guys, they are being careful right now when it comes to ramping them up.
Not purposely, just when we planned out spring and where everybody was at, this was what made the most sense. Same with Fetty going tomorrow and going one inning rather than two. It's just we're making sure we're tailoring each progression to where guys are and being smart about it. I mean, it's a long season and you want to make sure you do it properly. So no more thought than just that.
Last year was interesting for Eric Fetty when he came over at the trade deadline because he was having a fantastic season with the White Sox, and he was one of the most sought-after pitchers available at the trade deadline. His first handful of games with the Cardinals, he did not pitch particularly well, had about a 5 ERA, I think it was, after four games. But then in his final six appearances with the Cardinals, final six starts of the year, he looked more like the guy he was in Chicago, where he had a sub-3 ERA. I think a lot of Cardinals fans realize that, but I also think there's a disconnect for others because the overall numbers were a little bit skewed by what he did in those first handful of starts. There seems to be a negative disposition towards Eric Fetty from a lot of folks. He's a good pitcher. He's a good pitcher, and he was a good pickup for the Cardinals. And Marmol said that they feel like even though he did have that sub-3 ERA in those final six starts of the year last year, that they feel like they can get even more from Fetty.
He'll also tell you he still didn't feel like himself with being able to deliver to the degree that he's capable of. And I think that comes with just being on a new club and trying to prove that you belong, that type of thing, right? But the more comfortable he gets, I think we'll see a good version of him, and we're already seeing that just in his personality and just his level of settling in.
Continuing that conversation, Marmol said that Fetty last year after the trade deadline really put a lot of pressure on himself.
Especially kind of coming over to a new team at the trade deadline, being highly sought after, and you want to prove there's a reason you're coming over. So all that plays into it. But I think as guys settle in, this fits him well. We'll see a better version of him.
So Eric Fetty's going to start the game tomorrow against the Marlins, 12-10 first pitch right here on KMOX. He's expected to throw one inning. Then Matthew Liberatore is going to come in. Libby is being stretched out as a starter here in spring camp, with the idea that he'll eventually be converted back to a reliever, but it's a lot easier to stretch a guy out as a starter and reel him back than all of a sudden try to force more innings out of somebody. And as Ollie said the other day, if it hits the fan, then maybe all of a sudden Liberatore is in the rotation. I don't think that is something that they're planning for this year, but it's also not out of the realm of possibility that later in his career, Liberatore could go back to being a full-time starter. And Ollie said that Liberatore absolutely has value as a starter or as a reliever.
It depends who you ask. Like, if you're asking an organization where is someone that has a high ceiling more valuable as a starting pitcher, right? Where did he settle in and where was he most effective? It was as a reliever. I love seeing him in that role where he can pitch high leverage in a relief role and give you multiples if needed. But he also gives you the versatility where he's continuing to evolve as a player and mature, and you give him an opportunity to get stretched out during spring. And then make a decision as you have more clarity as to what the roster is looking like closer to breaking camp. So it's much easier for someone like him to adjust to, hey, we need you to go blow people's doors for an inning. Than the other way around. So
when it comes to that bullpen, you would think Liberatore is going to be a big part of it. There's a lot of other guys that are contending for spots and a lot of guys with options. We maybe haven't seen the team be quite as active over the last couple years and always just shuffling guys and shuttling guys between the Cardinals and Memphis. But when you look at the makeup of the 40-man roster right now and the number of pitchers who could pitch out of the bullpen who the Cardinals would feel comfortable with, it certainly feels like there could be that shuttling back and forth if needed this year. And Marmol says that the 40-man roster and roster depth in general puts them in position to do that if they need to.
That's part of the roster construction. Yeah. It will give us the ability to do that if needed this year. If guys are doing well and we're using them properly and they're fresh, and we can roll with the guys we have. But we do have the versatility to bounce back and forth between AAA and and use that 40 man to our advantage.
You know, one interesting name to take a look at is Roder Munoz. Munoz in his career has never been able to fully put it together because of his inability to control the strike zone. What he can do is throw hard. He has tons and tons of velocity. He's mostly worked as a starter in his career. The Cardinals are going to use him in the bullpen, and Marmol talked a little bit about what they're doing to try to help find a little bit of consistency for Munoz, who could be an electric arm out of the bullpen.
The first thing that comes to mind in some of the conversations will be around creating a routine that'll allow for consistency. I think that's going to really help him, and we have the right staff to be able to do that and just continue to make that important to him. I'm sure it won't be the first time he hears that, but I think starting to create some consistency around how he shows up and just being purposeful behind everything he does will lead to a more consistent outcome on the field, because stuff-wise, it's there.
And continuing that conversation, Marmol did say that the goal in putting him in the bullpen is to try to make him more effective.
That's the hope, right? Anytime you make that move from a guy having to go three times through to, hey, go get an inning, is that stuff's a little nastier for an inning. So that's our hope.
That's Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, what he had to say earlier today. We will take a break, and when we return, we'll wrap up this edition of the program from Jupiter, Florida. Get you all the way ready for the Grapefruit League opener. That's coming up tomorrow afternoon from Jupiter, Florida and Cardinals spring training. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
For one final time tonight, we are back at it with the Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX, coming your way from Jupiter, Florida. Cardinals spring training today was a short day on the field in terms of live BP sessions. Only one person had one. That was Michael McGreevy, as he had an up-down in there, so essentially threw a couple innings, and he'll get into a Grapefruit League game here sooner than later. But that was it. You know, that compare that to what it had been like here over the previous couple days, where they were running five fields at once, and each field had multiple live BP sessions. Just the one today, guys were able to get out a little bit early, and now things pick up tomorrow. It is another mile marker point of Cardinals spring training, because Grapefruit League games will officially begin tomorrow, as we've already talked about. They'll match up against the Marlins. The Cardinals will. Eric Fetty is going to throw one inning. Matthew Liberatore is then going to throw the next couple innings after that. And we will be off and running with spring training games over the better part of the next month plus before we eventually get to opening day, which we are very much looking forward to. We have a crazy sports day tomorrow. Tomorrow is an amazing St. Louis sports day. So here on KMOX, we'll have Cardinals baseball for you. And that game is going to get started at about 12:10 as they match up against the Marlins. Slew Billikens basketball, which you normally hear on KMOX, but it's not going to be on KMOX tomorrow because of Cardinals baseball. Instead, the Billikens tomorrow are going to match up against Rhode Island. That game is scheduled to start at 1:30 inside of Chaffetz Arena. And that game is going to be over on our sister station, 97.1 FM. So, FM Talk. So, that's Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., they're going to be over there. The season is getting underway for City SC. They are going to match up against Colorado coming up tomorrow evening at Energizer Park. It's going to be chilly. And that is going to be heard on another one of our sister stations, Y98. So as far as KMOX and our sister stations, that's what's going to be going on. Elsewhere tomorrow in our just Sports-a-Palooza, can we call it that? Can we trademark that? Sports-a-Palooza 2025? That's what tomorrow is. let me decree that February 21st, 2025 in St. Louis is Sportsapalooza. Anyways, the Blues, they come back off of their Four Nations break, and they're going to match up against Winnipeg. We really didn't get much chance to talk about the Blues, unfortunately. We've just been so busy real quickly before we get out of here. Other than the United States losing, which stunk. Go USA. Other than the United States losing, last night was amazing. The Four Nations Championship game between the United States and Canada. It was so much fun. The energy, the excitement, you could tell how much that game meant to those players. The crowd was great. Everything about it was great. A lot of people are trying to say maybe this is going to turn into like more people following hockey. We say that whenever there's a year where there's just like an amazing playoff run and it never really happens. So let's just take it for what it is, and it was awesome. And Jordan Binnington just stood on his head. My goodness, was he great. He should have been the first star. He was awesome. And you feel good for him. And the NHL hit it out of the park with doing that. So good on them. Absolutely good on them for that. But the Blues play tomorrow. They're going to match up against the Winnipeg Jets. We already told you about SLU basketball. Let's go through the other area college basketball teams that are going to be playing a Sportsapalooza Saturday, February 22nd game. Missouri basketball, they're going to be on the road as they match up against Arkansas. Illinois basketball, they are going to be playing as they are going to host number 3 Duke. So that's a pretty big game for them. In the Missouri Valley Conference on Saturday, Missouri State and Springfield hosting Illinois State. And then also Southern Illinois basketball, they are going to match up against Valparaiso. Let's go to the OVC. Have a bit of a rivalry game as Lindenwood and Southeast Missouri State. Those two teams will match up against each other in Cape Girardeau and SIUE, which is just incredible right now. Incredible. They're 12-5 in conference play, and they have a legit chance of winning that conference tournament and being in the NCAA tournament this year, which would be amazing. SIUE plays at Southern Indiana. So, Cardinals, Billikens, City SC, Blues, Mizzou, Illinois, Missouri State, Southern Illinois, SIUE, Lindenwood, Southeast Missouri State, all playing. It is Sportsapalooza 2025 coming up tomorrow. Make sure to partake as much as you can. Thank you for being tuned in to the program tonight. We've got the Gas House Gang on the way next. Today's show features myself and Bernie Miklas. That is our Friday pairing up. So that's coming up in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Have a wonderful Sportsapalooza tomorrow. And we'll talk to you again coming up on Monday right here on KMOX.